Hi, this is Jerome Kilmartin, JMJ Catholic Radio, bringing local and EWTN Catholic programming to Northeastern and Central Pennsylvania. Welcome to the In the Father's Hands program with host Mary Kate Grady. And Mary Kate's guest today is Marcus Daly. Marcus was born in Philadelphia and raised in Chester County. When he was 21, he traveled to Alaska and hitchhiked around the state, working in the commercial fishing industry. And he was so taken with the grandeur of the Northwest, he moved to Montana a few years later and worked seasonally fishing for salmon on what's called a purse seiner boat in southeast Alaska. And this was followed by a move to Seattle, where Marcus met Kelly, the woman he would marry and raise a family. The young family moved to an island, that's Vashon Island, off the coast of Seattle, with the intention of starting a business, building small wooden boats. That didn't work out, however, and they started a landscape construction company. The death and funeral of St. John Paul II made a deep impression on them, and they were especially struck by the Pope's simple wooden casket. 4 years later, they started the business handcrafting wooden caskets modeled after that of St. John Paul II. And their business, now based in Scranton, ships these caskets all over the United States, of course, to the funeral directors at the direction of the families. And as I say, they're back in Scranton, back here in Pennsylvania, where Marcus began his journey. And Mary Kate, back to you.
Thank you so much there, Jerry, and it's so good to be with you all again in our program In the Father's Hands. We're so happy to have you join us this lovely fall October time. I'm a little chilly, but that's okay. It's beautiful. And up here in northern Wayne County, lots of beautiful leaves changing on the trees. So we're thankful to God for this beautiful time of year and for our time here together. Before we jump into the program, I just really quickly want to mention to all of you, of course, as always, please keep JMJ Catholic Radio in your prayers, their mission and ministry, just to bring the gospel message to people, whether they're in their car or at home listening on the radio. Please get the word out there to people, especially if you feel like different people could gain to learn and know more about their faith, and the radio type people that wouldn't mind having a radio going in the background as they're driving or doing housework. Pass the word along about JMJ. They can either listen online or, of course, listen on the radio. And if you want to make contact with JMJ Catholic Radio, you have any questions for them, just any comments, or if you'd like to donate, which I always know that they could use financial assistance, you can go ahead and give them a call at 570-287-4670. Or if you'd like to write to them, that would be JMJ Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 851. That's Pittston, Pennsylvania, 18640. And we thank you so much, of course, as always, for your prayers and donations. Every bit is so helpful and just really appreciated. So thank you so much for joining us and listening and your support. Okay, as we always do, go ahead and open up your Bibles. I'd like to start here at the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10, where Jesus makes this promise to us, and he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this great promise and just reassurance that we can go through our day, no matter what happens, either in the world or in our personal life, and that you always have us, Father. You're always there with us. You're always holding us in your hands. And something beautiful I want to share really quickly is, it's kind of funny, I love this verse from Scripture, of course. I always read it every program. But it always surprises me because every once in a while I'll be at Mass or at some kind of event and I'll hear this verse read, and I just feel like the Heavenly Father's really reaching out to me in those moments. You'll find that too when you have favorite scripture verses or quotes. They'll just kind of pop up out of thin air, it seems, but it's really just His plan of the way He's speaking to us. So be on the lookout for that. And speaking of scripture verses, we're going to have Marcus share his with us. Marcus, welcome to the program today.
Thank you very much for having me, Mary Kate. I'm glad to be here with you.
We're so excited to have you join us. And as I alluded to, Marcus, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us either a small quote or verse from any part of Scripture, and if you could share it with us and just tell us why it's meaningful to you.
Sure, I'd be glad to. So probably my favorite verse from Scripture is Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. And it's familiar to us all, I think, but I'll share with you why it's so special to me. But it's, "Come to me, all you who are labor and are burdened, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light." And that's when I met my wife Kelly, before we were even dating or anything, she asked me what my favorite thing in the world was, what my favorite thing was. And that's a big question. And I just gave some kind of bad answer. I don't even remember what I said. Then I said, "Why, what is yours?" And she said, "My favorite thing is a well-deserved night's rest." And I thought, wow, that is great. That's much better than my answer. And she was not Catholic and she was not Christian, and she was not relating this in any way to scripture or anything, but she was just simply stating the truth that rest is good and meaningful and, profound when you deserve it. And so that stayed with me when she had said that. And then this became her favorite scripture verse also, and I think it's very much related to that. So the number one reason it's my favorite scripture verse, I guess, is because it's my wife's. And she's brought it out and made it vivid for me from even before her faith was, apparent in her. But it continues to unfold like scripture does. And the thing that really strikes me about that verse now is where our Lord says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. You'll find rest for yourselves." It's the "take my yoke upon you and learn from me" in that order. The taking up His yoke, carrying our crosses in faith, and then understanding through His grace, why we have the crosses we have, or coming to terms with them, or feeling Him lifting them alongside of us. But we so often want the assurance that we're going to be able to do something that is hard in life before we're willing to try it. And that is not the reality that God has set up for us. He has mysteriously set it up so that we have to do things. We have to trust Him. We have to have faith and step out, and then He will be with us. Otherwise, we just sit and plot and plan and worry about things that not only do we have no control over, they might not even happen. So He's telling us that we have to bodily go out and do the things that He has for us to do, and that's where we will meet Him. And especially with all the years now that I've been building caskets and seeing people who manage to endure and even shine, in the apparent hardships and the very real hardships, but
Sure, yeah.
the mysterious workings of grace that are going on inside a person that enable them to not only do things that we think are impossible or to be run away from, but that they do them in a way that actually gives them a greater experience of existence than they would have if they tried to just find comfort and avoid carrying the cross, suffering.
That's the one thing, though, Marcus, that makes suffering bearable is doing it with somebody, and if we can
Yes.
do suffering with God, it's hard, but it's doable because we're doing it with someone, you know.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, even on a human level, it's very much helpful. Yeah, and then on the divine level, it's all the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And Marcus, just tell us, if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about, like, maybe your journey with God. You know, our program is always, we talk about the Heavenly Father holding us in His hands and guiding us. That's kind of the premise of our program. And I just, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us a little bit about how in your life, how you've felt the Heavenly Father hold you in His hands and guide you in your life.
Well, sure. There's so many ways that it's hard to give an overview. So if you don't mind, I'd like to just talk about what He's doing right now.
Sure, please go ahead. And my question's like your wife Kelly's question, what's your favorite thing? It's a pretty tough question that you can say
yeah.
a lot, you know. So yeah, go ahead. Share that with us.
Okay. Yeah, because I really the life that I'm living, I'm so undeserving of with my family and the work that I'm doing and the people I'm getting to meet and everything that I can't encapsulate it. It's like a universe. When you say that, Mary Kate, I'm thinking, so we're talking about God's providence, His providential love for us. And I'm right now sitting in the Providence neighborhood of Scranton, in my shop, my new shop space, which I just have really been working on for the last couple of months. I was kind of working out of a couple of different making do with some spaces because we moved cross country. So my whole family moved cross country 2 years ago, and I had my shop out in Washington State. And our intention was to start a shop here. And the reason we even knew here was here. I mean, obviously we knew Scranton was here, but what drew us here was we go to St. Thomas More Catholic Parish here, and it's in the former St. Joseph's Church in the Providence mm-hmm. neighborhood of Scranton. And it's pastored by priest Father Eric Bergman, who is a convert from Episcopalianism. He was an Episcopalian priest, and then he is a married priest, and he converted to Catholicism, and he received permission to be ordained as a priest in the Catholic Church. So he's, you know, fairly unique in the church as far as being married and having mm-hmm. a family, and he has 10 children. And we were contacted 2.5 years ago when he has 10 surviving children, when he and his wife, Christina was in her 36th week of pregnancy, and their son, Damien, died in utero. And they contacted us out on the other side of the country. Well, somebody contacted us for them and asked if I would build a casket for Damien. And so we kind of got to know through another person what was going on here and what was going on with the family, and my family were praying for them. We made this casket, and Father Bergman had me, I'll put like Divine Mercy prayers in the caskets, or sometimes I'll put a particular inscription in there that is meaningful for a family. And he had me carve the words, the best penance is to have patience with the suffering God permits, on the top of this little casket. And just knowing how much pain they were in, and yet Father Bergman and Christina and their family's perspective on that really just kind of invited us into an intimacy with them, and doing the work of building the casket also, of course.
Sure, yeah.
And so we learned more about the parish here, and some of the good works that were coming out of the parish, and the little school that was affiliated with the parish. And we went back and forth with them and some people here at the parish. And Kelly and I had, since I grew up in Pennsylvania, my wife Kelly and I had talked about maybe coming back to the East Coast sometime. You know, I'm getting older, my brother's getting older, my mother had just died within the last year after that. And just as we feel time passing, and I went out on this great adventure in the West, but just starting to feel like, where's my, you know, real home? And obviously it's not here, but
sure.
I have my remaining family members here. And so wanting to, you know, just feeling time going by, we've been thinking about maybe moving to the East Coast. And so as we were building this casket and communicating with people back here, we felt like I was calling us to come here and see about becoming a part of this community and setting up a shop here. Also, with shipping caskets around the country after COVID, it was getting more and more difficult. A lot of my people were calling me from the East Coast it was hard for me to get a casket there on time.
Just
because of the logistics. So anyway, we decided to move cross country, and my children, who are still at home, were a little jarred by the sudden decision that we were going to move to Pennsylvania. But we did, and as good fortune would have it, just in the last year, I received the invitation to open my shop across the street from the church. So, so this really amazing thing in Providence is happening where I'm able to actually, like, hear the bells from the church. So I can start the day with adoration. I can go to Mass. I can come over. I can work. If I get a phone call from somebody who's having a particularly hard time, some people will call when a tragedy is very raw and recent, and I don't have what they need, but God does, and I can take that across the street, and I can lay that in front of Him in the Blessed Sacrament, and ask for Him to help a family that is suffering, and so I can become more of a conduit for trying to offer the sufferings that people are going through to God, and then trying to bring any sort of, you know, grace and perspective back to them that I can from my prayer and from my regular Mass attendance and adoration here. I was on an island.
Mission work, isn't it? It's totally mission work. Like, you know, it's not just like a job. It's like a mission, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it is. In fact, you know, for a while, because when I started this, I thought funeral homes would be like, oh, this is really great. You know, you're like this local guy who's building, you know, beautiful caskets out of wood. They're environmentally friendly. They're simple. They're beautiful. But I realized, oh, this is a whole business world that I don't know really anything about. And I need to just talk directly to families and try to let them know that I have, you know, these caskets modeled after Pope John Paul II's with Divine Mercy prayers carved in them. And then that also meant, though, that I'll be, you know, interacting with families who are experiencing loss, or even lots of times people will come out who have a terminal disease, and they'll come and they want to see the caskets. And, you know, when the shop was on my property and my little children and stuff would meet people and talk to people, it turned out to be this huge grace where people who were kind of in the throes of the greater reality that we are all so busy kind of distracting ourselves from with the day-to-day concerns of existence, that they would that my kids would get a glimpse of this bigger eternal reality. But I had no, you know, I have no psychological training or ministerial training or anything, so all I can do is just, you know, trust in Jesus and live my life that way and feel His hand in it, and then have the confidence to tell other people that He's at work in their lives too. But of course, I'm much more on the receiving end of of the faith than I am on the giving end of the faith, because the people who I'm working for are, you know, who I'm building caskets for are
that's the beautiful moment where you know how much God is real and at work, because I work at a hospital, Marcus, and so I'm around people like all the time that are dying or their relatives. And so you have some kind of heavy conversations, but you can just sort of tell a lot of times that, like, people rarely come up to me and say, "Oh, I need to talk to you," but you can just tell they need to talk to somebody. You can just kind of, like, after a while you start to, like, see looks on people's faces and you start to recognize it. And so then when you start talking to them, you realize, like, Jesus just wants to reach out to them in love. And, like, He's doing the talking, because, as you said, I have no training in grief counseling or ministry or anything, but you know, you know the Lord's at work, because people are listening to you, or you're listening to them, and like, the interactions are beautiful and holy, and you just know that He's at work, you know, because they just kind of want someone to listen to them, and you know, and so far as we're able to let God work through us, then He's reaching out to them too, you know?
Yeah, that is so beautiful. Because,
it's like such a gift from God, you know, to be on the receiving end of that as well, you know?
Yeah, because you just feel, like you're saying, like the Him filling in everything you lack. You're like, whoa, you know, you just offer the tiniest little offering and he'll give so, he'll multiply it so much. It's an incredible thing. And So now here we are with setting up this shop, and of all things, you know, at the parish also, there is a ministry that started a year and a half or so ago called the Providence Pregnancy Center, because here we are in Providence. And the Providence Pregnancy Center is, it's a crisis pregnancy center that offers care for, you know, women who are in difficult situations and circumstances with their pregnancies, as far as not having enough money or being in a difficult relationship, being able to offer support to them so that they don't feel cornered and forced into aborting their child because of the fear of, you know, not being able to care for the baby, or have to raise the baby alone, just to feel isolated, and all the things that our culture does to kind of pressure people into shying away from, you know, the blessings of life that God wants to shower on us. And they even purchased, just in the last week or two, a former funeral home. And their campaign to raise money for this was From Death to Life. And they purchased this former funeral home so they would actually have room for women to live while they're pregnant, and even after their children are born, to get on their feet. And even if they have other children, which there's no other places I understand in Scranton that allows a mom who has baby, who has children already, to have a home to live in while she's pregnant and has a newborn baby. And they're doing all this in this former funeral home that happens to be next door to where my shop is.
Wow.
So when we moved out here, we had no idea of any of this, but supporting, supporting women in crisis and trying to, my family's, like, when I was growing up, even when I was sort of drifting away from my Catholicism, the pro-life cause always was like kind of my anchor, because it was like, well, if the church defends babies and the world is against babies, then the church knows something the world doesn't. The world definitely doesn't know. So right. From the beginning of our casket making, we've always wanted to give some of the proceeds to pro-life causes, because it's just a very tangible way to kind of reflect God's bringing life out of death, as he did, you know, ultimately in the biggest way with our Lord's sacrifice, but just in all the small ways where we fear darkness and the light is greater, or we feel stuck in sorrow, but then we get to know joy again. But so now I'm able to kind of put my casket making at the service of the Providence Pregnancy Center, which, like I said, didn't even exist when we moved here, much less buy a building right next door. And I don't know what God has in store for us as far as people working together and learning skills or anything like that. I have no idea, but we're just in the middle of this right now, because the pregnancy center just purchased the property on October 2nd. So that's when I say, like, when I share how God's working in my life and guiding me right now. Like, I don't even know exactly where this is going.
I'm sure a leap of faith moving all the way from Seattle to here and with your family. I'm sure there were lots of challenges with that, you know?
Oh, there were. Yeah, there were and there are. But it's been good for us too, because, you know, it kind of galvanizes the family to have, when people aren't teary about what they miss, there is a cohesiveness to our family now too, maybe, that's grown out of that. So
it's been great. Yeah. Yeah, wonderful. And you know what? I have to say this. I guess I'm biased, but I know it's their loss not having your shops out there. Your family's over here, but we're really happy to have you, Marcus. So. For
sure. Well, thank you very much, Mickey. I'm glad to be here.
If I could just type in for a second too, is that Marcus actually made the casket for my mom, and we had her funeral back in January, and it was beautiful, and we were just so thankful and blessed to have it, and brought honor to her life being in such a beautifully crafted casket, and just a lot of love and prayers put into that, you know, it makes all the difference. So
it's a huge privilege for me. So thank you. And the prayers continue. Yeah.
Marcus, would you just share with our audience maybe like how people could get a hold of you and touch base with you about the caskets, and if they want more information about that?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. The best way is to, I have a website. Not everybody's on the computer yet.
Okay,
but
sure.
Almost all of us are. But the website is www.marian, Marian, MaryCaskets.com, and that's Mary Caskets, named after the Blessed Mother, because, you know, she brought our Lord beautifully into this world, and I'm trying to do something that in some way beautiful for us to go out to meet him.
Yeah. And Ed, then, do you have like a phone number? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So as I'm in the sort of transition here, setting up my shop, that I have a direct line, which is area code 206. That's a Washington area code. So 206-473-0785. And then also at the website, there's like a form, you know, if anybody wanted to fill out a form to get more information, they do that. Okay. Also.
And could people pre-order caskets, Marcus?
They can. Yeah. We can. A lot of people do that so that they can have that available when the time comes. And, you know, there's a lot of people who maybe their children or grandchildren are not practicing the faith the way they wish they would. And so it gives me an opportunity to make sure that Jesus is at the center of the funeral. And then I also have a chance to talk oftentimes to the surviving family members. And they're maybe a little bit more open to thinking about the eternal things than they are on the average day. So that's a blessing too.
That's wonderful. Well, Marcus, thank you so much for all that you're doing. And just, we're so happy that you're back in PA, back where you're, you know, I know you're from Philadelphia. Actually, I'm from Philadelphia too, originally. But
all right.
Just so happy to have you in the area. And I encourage all of you, please, to check out Marcus's website and to look into that for your family and loved ones. And Marcus, God bless all your work. And, you know, keep up the good work. And thank you for just helping bring our attention to sanctity of human life through your work.
Thank you so much, Mary Kate. It's a pleasure to talk to you. And I'm really grateful for all the good you're doing, too.
Yes, thank you so much. And God bless all of you. Have a wonderful wonderful weekend, and stay close to the Heavenly Father. Know that He holds you in His hands. God bless you all. Bye-bye now.